This is a production of Tripod Broadcasting.
It's Walmart. It's middle class version of Six Flags. Dun, 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 dun. Humor.
Faggot didn't mean gay. When I was a kid, you called somebody faggot because they're being a faggot.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
So it's Anthony.
Get tired of you.
It's Anthony Weiner?
Yeah.
Or Wiener?
Wiener.
Anthony Dick Cheese Wiener.
It's Wiener.
It's Wiener. Okay.
It's Anthony, whatever middle name, Wiener.
Whatever middle name, Wiener.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? You never hear middle names in scandals like that. You just have no idea.
Well, no, technically it's Anthony Carlos Danger Wiener.
Anthony Carlos Danger Wiener, yeah. Anyways, Tripod Broadcasting, give that some thought, episode number 7. I'm your host, Addison Todd. Joining me is my co-host, a man who has sent more titillating text than Anthony Wiener, Matt Hume.
I have. I've sent, it's mostly to like 900 numbers, but I still sent them.
Well, yeah, text is a text.
It counts.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it's just to put a phrase or a saying up on a Megatron or a Mega.
Yeah, yeah.
At a sporting event.
Even if
it's a text is a text.
Yeah, even if it's just a text of my junk to my Nana, it still counts. Be like,
now,
be like, hey, Nana, is this infected?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Was it some kind of medical...
Yeah. It's always... She never opens the attachment. She's just always, yes.
Yeah, she just texts back, it's infected. Yeah.
If you have to ask your Nana whether or not it's infected...
Then it's infected.
Probably go see a doctor.
I think that's the rule. If you have to ask your Nana if it's infected... It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could write a whole medical book on that premise.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, a question that I wanted to start off this episode.
Like this one time when I had like this really bad cyst.
We should really probably.
When I was like 12.
Where was the cyst? And then I'll decide whether or not to let you continue with the story.
It was in a sensitive area.
That doesn't tell me enough.
It was north of the fun zone, but just like barely. It was actually.
North of the fun zone, he says.
It was actually like the southern border.
So just above the shoulder blades.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. 2 inches above my right nipple.
Now, did you have to have it removed? Because I had a friend who had a cyst on his face.
No.
And had to have it removed?
No, my mom just like lanced it.
Ew.
Yeah, on the couch with like right there with like my sister's
just
all
everybody
watching.
Gathered up.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. When I'm like 12 years old. One of the most embarrassing things of my life. Couldn't like just go into the bathroom.
Yeah.
And like she just lanced it there.
Had to do it for the whole family. Yeah.
No, she's like, just laying down on the couch. And she was like, I think she was pregnant at the time, so she was grumpy and pregnant. And she was like in no mood for having to lance her son's boils when he's like,
well,
12.
When are you ever in the mood, though? I mean, let's be real. Are you ever, great weather out. Seems like a good afternoon to lance some boils.
Wake up and stretch. Man, this would be the perfect day if I could just lance a boil or two. That's how I imagine like nurses wake up
just
in the morning.
Yeah, up in the morning.
Yeah. Just wake up in the morning just full of piss and vinegar
to
lance some boils.
At some point, you'd have to be.
Empty some bedpans.
Yeah, especially if you were like an ER nurse. Mm-hmm. Or like a trauma ER nurse, or I don't know what these idiots are doing. I had my cousin for I think about a year and a half or 2 years when I was growing up was a ER, an overnight ER security guard, mm-hmm. at a hospital downtown. So he had some stories.
I'll bet.
Some stories of blood and teeth and bullets and knives and things of that nature.
Violent things, just people sticking things in places where they don't go on their bodies and stuff like that.
Well, I wouldn't.
Like swallowing quarters. And
I wouldn't think that a...
shoving crayons into their ears and stuff like that.
Yeah, things of that nature. Meth is a hell of a drug.
Yeah. So is alcohol, let's be honest.
hold my beer while I...
Yeah, alcohol is responsible for many more poor decisions than drugs.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's legal. There's no...
Alcohol is legal now?
Yeah.
Really? When did they repeal the Volstead Act?
And now, my co-host, a man who lives in the 20s, Matt Hume. We might just have to start it right there.
Well, you messed it up. I was going to do my 1920s voice.
Oh, go ahead.
Which is the same as my South Park voice. Hey there, fella. How you doing? It's a great day to record a podcast. What is this podcast we're doing? What is a podcast?
What's electricity?
Sure, it's a fancy, strange-looking device you have there with all the buttons and knobs on it and whatnot.
terrible voice.
Hey, don't insult me. I'll pound you in the mush, you see?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. A question for you. See, last week we had the conversation real quick, not really about Anthony Weiner, but about Huma Abedin. And,
yeah.
And you.
Old Huma.
Okay. Back on topic. We had that topic last week. But my question for you was, and it's something you've mentioned just in you and I talking before, mm-hmm. and it's something that you mentioned last week about how you really think that Hillary is going to be the DNC nomination for 2016.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, do you have, like two or three reasons why you think that's the case, or what are you basing that on, or is it just time for a woman, or like where are you coming from? You could explain to us and our kindly listeners.
Almost everybody in the past 20 years who has gotten the nomination or has won the presidency,
mm-hmm.
The nomination for their party or the presidency, has been somebody who's been popular.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at like the Rick Santorums and the Herman Cains and stuff from last cycle,
mm-hmm.
the person who won was Romney, is the person who had the most name recognition, the person who had the most financial backing. And Hillary Clinton has a lot of financial backing.
Yeah, undoubtedly she would. Yeah,
right now she is the most popular United States politician, period.
Really?
Definitely, yeah, in polls. And she's not even technically in politics anymore.
Because she stepped down from
Secretary of State.
Yeah, Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's my question, because, I mean, she does kind of have Benghazi on her shoulders. And not looking at it from a party, not even really looking at the issue, but she did kind of take the heat for that,
yeah.
You know, one way or the other. So you don't think that's going to be insurmountable?
She took a lot of heat for that, but nothing ever came from it. Like, her public opinion on her didn't change at all from it. The people to whom Benghazi was a big deal,
right,
were already people who dislike Hillary.
And it was a big deal to them then, and it still is.
Yeah, they basically wanted to be able to show everybody else, look, here's how horrible and bad Hillary actually is.
Mm-hmm.
But they failed. They're not going to be able to dredge Benghazi up. If they do, I think it might be a minor issue for her, but I don't think it'll be something that can completely derail her.
Right. Do you think she's going to run?
Yeah, I think she will. I think that the DNC will, if she doesn't want to, will pressure her to run. But I think she's always eyed the Oval Office.
Yeah,
I mean she really is a career politician who is very what's the word I'm looking for?
Good at politics.
No, but she has a lot of very big aspirations. I think she's always aspired to that role. I mean she has a laundry list of just a ton of credentials. I mean, she's one of the most credentialed politicians in the United States right now. Immensely popular.
Right.
Is extremely resilient. Like, she came out of the whole Lewinsky scandal looking amazing.
Fabulous, yeah.
You know, the whole stand by her man sort of thing. But at the same time, she distanced herself from Bill after they left the White House.
Right.
And has
been doing her own thing and had her own political career after that.
Was very good at branding herself as somebody who's independent of Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Which I think is what you would need if she's going to have a shot at it. Now, here's my question, though, because forgive me for making the assumption, but you sound like you're a bit of a fan of Hillary Clinton. Is that the case, or where would you say that you stand on that? Or you would have to hear more of her politics?
She's not my first choice for presidential candidate.
Well, I would be your first choice, so I know but
me would be my first choice. Myself,
me,
I.
Me would, so I would be.
No, I.
You would be.
Matt Hume would be Matt Hume's first
Matt
choice.
Hume. For Hume 2016. Are you old enough?
No, not I wouldn't be in 2016. Yeah.
You would be for the next one.
2020, yeah. I think I'll be old enough, because I guess you have to be 35.
Yeah, so we could launch your campaign from this podcast if we wanted to.
We could.
Something to consider.
Attention, everyone. Matt Hume would like to announce his political aspirations. I will be running for president of the United States of America in 2020.
Are you serious?
As an independent. Yeah, as an independent.
This better be our highest downloaded episode to date.
Well, it will be eventually when I run. In either 20...
when they go back and listen to the first five and say,
exactly.
We can't have this guy in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. When all the parties back out and no one can back you at that point.
Yeah. What is he talking about Huma for? I'm going to steal her from Anthony Weiner. She's going to be my first lady.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I don't... Does the first lady technically have to be married to the president? Something to consider.
Ooh.
Or is it like a position like vice president? Can you nominate a first lady?
Yeah.
You could change the whole game, man.
But in my 2020 run, who do I want to be my first lady? I got to look at this now.
That's true. Yeah. Something to consider.
Like, I don't want her to be like a staunch Republican or a staunch Democrat.
Would it be a
Democrat.
Man? You could tear down a lot of walls.
No, it wouldn't be a man.
Wouldn't be a man?
No.
Okay. Because that's what vice president is for.
Yeah. I mean, she has to look really good in like, you know, a skirt.
Yeah.
So nice legs.
Yeah.
You know what? I know.
Needs to have kind of a short haircut, not super long hair.
Yep.
If you look at the past.
Be smart and very attractive because that's always helps. I know exactly who.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick.
So, let's
she's
see.
She's super cute, super tiny, smart. I would go for that.
So she's your she's your first lady.
Yeah. Because I can't have a fat first lady. As much as my might want a fat first lady.
I got to cut that out. What is wrong with you?
I can't have a fat first lady.
Can we take that again? And you say it differently?
Okay. And as much as I'd like to have like a fat first lady, because you know I'm down with the thickness.
Right.
I gotta have a highway proportionate skinny.
And you have to have someone that's gonna be accepted by the people. It's not just you, Matt.
Yeah.
There's a lot to consider here other than your preferences.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got so Hume, Kendrick in the White House. Who's your VP?
Oh gosh. Do I go with
what's no go ahead.
If only there were somebody like right in front of my face. Like someone I've known for a while, someone I get along with, someone who is smart and intelligent, who looks good, and can keep his mouth shut.
I just got a little something here.
Yeah, you okay there?
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Probably right. Another 30 seconds.
Yeah, okay. So somebody who does stupid things, but they're not like big stupid things that like, affect anything. Yeah.
No, anyone come to mind? Off the top of your head, or
what'll Isaac
or
be
wherever.
Doing? What's your brother Isaac doing in about 7
right.
years?
He's going to be co-hosting a podcast with me when I fire my current co-host. That's what he'll be doing.
He's too hard,
and he'll be very busy.
He's too hard right for me. I got to find an independent.
He is hard right.
Yeah.
So somebody more left than my brother, you would say.
You know what? I'll just put up an ad on Craigslist. Say I'm looking for vice presidential candidate in 2020.
Just a VP. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because okay. I can't think of anybody that I know well enough or trust well enough to do it.
Right.
Are you okay there? Your throat's
I'm fine. I got some tea here. I'll be fine.
Okay. Well, why don't you take a sip on that right now? Because it seems like you can't take care of this problem. And it's kind of unprofessional. I'm trying to pontificate
who
I want.
I got it.
Yeah, for my vice president. And you're just clearing your throat.
For who?
You didn't get it. Take another drink. You didn't get it. You got to... Oh, I just thought of the perfect person
for what?
Hey, Mort.
No.
Yeah,
you can't have a Jew in the White House.
Whoa, bro.
They can have Hollywood or the White House. They can't have both, Matt.
Look
that's
at Mort's
how it, that's how it
look
works.
Look at Mort's face. He is crestfallen right now.
I'm sorry, dude. He's a jerk. I know. 2020. We'll talk about it later. But in 2020,
you're
gonna be president.
Yeah, I think I got to pick him because he's not a lawyer.
What were you saying?
This bit is old. I'm bored with it now.
Anyways, who would your VP be in realistically?
Realistically?
Anna Kendrick.
Todd Akin. No.
I said realistically.
No, I'm going to pick Huma Abedin for my vice president.
So you're just going to have a White House full of chicks, Matt.
Yes.
This is just your fantasy. This has nothing to do with the White House or politics or the good of the American people.
Exactly. I'm not going to...
Exactly, he says.
I'm
exactly.
Not...
Let it be known that on episode 6 of Give That Some Thought, Matt Hume completely debased his
possibility.
First off,
this is episode 7, but...
First... Is it?
Yeah.
This is episode 7.
Yeah. But, yeah.
We're big time
Anna
now.
Kendrick could be my first lady. Huma Abedin would be my VP.
She's going to be your what?
My VP.
What?
1998, Jennifer Connelly, Secretary of State.
I don't... This is a whole fantasy. Can we... We have to stop this, though.
1998, Jennifer
this has
Connelly.
This has little to... This has
before she got,
to do
like,
with
super
politics.
Skinny. Yeah, but we're talking about politics. It is politics. It's my fantasy White House. Just like...
It's not fantasy baseball.
Think of...
Hold on. Fantasy politics.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantasy baseball for political nerds. How could that be done, though?
Well, no, they kind of already have that, because like, people like bet on bet on stuff all the time.
Yeah, but like more like specific than betting, like not as casual as betting.
But you'd have to have like some sort of value.
Hold on, I'm
going to
go register some domains. Keep talking.
Okay, you have to put like some sort of value and point system on you know, political exercises, which would be hard to do.
And what they do and how they handle things, yeah, would be really difficult.
But I'm thinking, yeah, for 2020, Matt Holmes, sexy White House.
Matt
Hume, sexy White House.
Matt Hume, sexy White House.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Just like the whole cabinet is women. Just I'm president of the bunch of women in my cabinet. I'm not gonna make a move on any of them. No, it's all gonna be pure, except for my wife Anna Kendrick. But
except for my wife, who
but no,
it's purely
Kendrick. Professional. But finally, women have a chance to run the country with a man leading them. Of course,
this is like Soul Plane meets.
It's like Bikini Car. It's like a skin flick from the 1970s. Like
that's what I'm saying.
Romp.
It's like Soul Plane meets
Bikini Car Wash.
No, what was that flick with Chris Rock where he's the president?
It's a Head of State, yeah.
Head of State, yeah. It's like Soul Plane meets Head of State.
Except no blacks.
Well, that's offensive.
Yeah. Well,
it be known in this episode as well.
Yeah.
That Matt also
completely
knocked himself out of the ring for the
Queen
office.
Queen Latifah could be Secretary of the Interior. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We should move on.
Yeah. Demi Moore could be.
This is just a whole fantasy of yours.
Yeah, Demi Moore, because she was in G.I. Jane, so she knows the military. She could be like director of Homeland Security.
What a ridiculous premise!
Yeah, yeah. She would be the
unbelievable
the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and then your Joint Chiefs are what, the A team or
the A team, but female. No, all the girls from Sucker Punch are my Joint Chiefs of Staff.
What is wrong with
they
you?
They get down. They're you know, just like Duke Snyder wanting them to. Just bam, 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 bam. Shoot them up. Anybody has a problem with the United States Army, bam, the girls from Sucker Punch are going to come after your head. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. You might do better than who's in there now.
Yeah. Of course, my first nomination for, like, anything would be, like, for, like, Supreme Court, if I got a Supreme Court nomination, Gina Davis from A League of Their Own. She would definitely be there. Mm-hmm. Just have Liv Tyler around just because I like Liv Tyler. Have her stand in the corner.
I don't know half of these people. And I'm proud of that.
Well, it's like...
Let it be known.
Actresses from the 90s, you know.
I figured.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And we're going to kill Megan Fox. That's the first order of business. Death to Megan Fox.
You might have lost the testosterone-pumped 20s crowd.
No one likes her. No one except for the people, the poor
well, yeah,
schmuck
you're,
who's
you're,
married
you're Michael
to her.
Michael Bay, Transformers watching
yeah.
Jarhead type.
But she's a body. There is nothing, like, she is somebody who is specifically, absolutely, 100% totally just a body. There's no, to the casual observer looking at her, there's no other reason to like her except for a body. Like, it's simply porn. That's all it is. It's softcore porn. So to me, like sitting in a movie theater watching Megan Fox on the screen, I have no vested interest in her because I can get on the internet and look at all the porn I need. I don't need to watch her in a movie. If I'm watching a movie, I want to see somebody who's interesting, somebody who's a good actor, pretty, yes, but still there's something tangible there besides just her looks. And so that's why I'm not.
In complete honesty, I'm not sure how we got here, and I'm not sure how to get out.
It was a misadventure, but yeah.
So I'm just going to move on to this next story, which I know is close to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
From Russia Today, the headline is FBI admits to flying drones over the U.S. over U.S. without warrants.
Mm.
What do you think about that, man?
I think it's probably something that's been going on for a while.
Ever since they've had the capability to?
Yeah, ever and before. I mean,
Well, you got to wonder because I think the DEA uses drones to look at pot farms and things like that.
Yeah.
Border
patrol and stuff like that.
Yeah, which I don't know that I would be entirely against it.
Yeah. This but, immigration bill, the new, the border reform.
Oh, the reform, yeah.
That's tacked on the
that
immigration
that we've been hearing
bill.
About for 2 months on conservative talk radio.
Yeah. Yeah, that, it's unlimited drones on the border.
For the border, really.
Yeah, for any border, all over. So, I mean, it really does open a door.
For border towns and for border
for drone
citizens.
Warfare on the border.
Wait, so armed drones? Not just surveillance?
Yeah.
There's no specification?
If you got surveillance drones in the air.
Are you saying that, or are you just saying, is this you under your tinfoil hat saying this, or you, do you know this?
Well, not specifically. Like, I've never seen the words armed drones.
Candidate Matt Hume,
over.
I would like to know.
I'm already starting my political career off badly.
Hey, Anna. Yeah, come on the podcast, because he's not.
No.
All right, fine.
No, she's busy.
Anna Kendrick is busy.
Yeah, she's busy over in the other room doing something.
On a Tuesday night at 7:53 p.m.
I mean, it's Tuesday night. There's nothing really going on, you know?
That's my point. So how is she busy?
Because she's doing... I don't know what she's doing.
Bad first lady.
Well...
That's all I have to say. The Federal Bureau of Investigation...
She's a workhorse... A workhorse in the bed, let me tell you what, though. Makes up for it.
Unbelievable.
You can cut that out if you want.
I might... The Federal Bureau of Investigation says it has used drones for domestic surveillance purposes in the United States at least 10 times without obtaining warrants.
Quadruple so like, that number.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's something you have to consider, but it sounds like these are somewhat isolated incidents,
yeah,
as opposed to like the blanket spying of the NSA. In three additional cases, drones were authorized but, quote, not actually used. Senator Rand Paul on Thursday published a letter from FBI Assistant Director Stephen D. Kelly, who admitted that the agency used unmanned aerial vehicles domestically without gathering any warrants. The FBI uses UAVs in very limited circumstances to conduct surveillance when there is a specific operational need. Since late 2006, the FBI has conducted surveillance using UAVs in 8 criminal cases and 2 national security cases. The Bureau said that it would only be required to obtain a warrant to use drones in cases for which a person, quote, would have a reasonable expectation of privacy. So in theory, I guess what they're trying to say is that if you're on a public street, you don't like, and I take my phone out, you don't have that reasonable expectation of privacy. Whereas you would have to obtain a warrant if they're trying to spy on you, perhaps in your residence or a bathroom or what have you.
Which a drone would be no use in a residence unless they're looking for some sort of heat signature.
Well,
or something
like a heat signature, yeah. The agency said that one of the 5 cases involved the rescue of a 5-year-old boy who was being held hostage in an underground bunker. The information strongly suggests that the agency was referring to the Alabama hostage crisis in which a retired truck driver kidnapped a boy from a school bus and held him hostage for 6 days. And it goes on. Senator Paul also took his concerns to Twitter, telling his followers that, quote, spying without warrants is unconstitutional. Now, and here's... Obviously, that story is what it is, and I haven't read the exact letter and on and on, but it bears the question, at least to me, the question that comes to mind is, why is Rand Paul, as crazy as he might seem and as underneath his tinfoil hat as he might be, why is he the only one that seems concerned with surveillance on the American people and the usage of drones overseas and domestically? Why? Where's everybody else? Why does no one else care about this? And what are they doing? And why don't they see what a big deal it is to, or maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe I'm wrong in saying that, what a big deal it is to the American people. That's a lot of questions. But.
Yeah, I think the reason why he is speaking out on it is because everybody else knows to shut up about it. And then it's happening.
Just a political thing.
I think that everyone else in the Senate and the House knows that this is something that's happening, whether you like it or not. And there's nothing that you or the American people can do about it. Drones will be used, the NSA will keep on doing what they're doing, and there's nothing that we can do to stop it, because we no longer live in a free society. It's not a republic, it's not even a democracy, we live in a fascist police state. That's the truth of the situation of what America has become.
Well,
we live in a police world, and there are no actual liberties anymore. We have freedoms out the wazoo, mm-hmm. but liberty, zero.
Yeah,
which liberty is innate. Liberty is something like a freedom is, my personal definition, a freedom is something that someone allows you to do. You mm-hmm. are free to do this. A liberty
is something you have from the beginning.
That is innate to humans. So we all should have liberty as an innate, sentient humans, a personal liberty. Okay? We don't really have that in this country anymore. We have a lot of freedoms, but there are things that other people are allowing us to do.
Right.
A lot of those laws are good. A lot of them are bad. I'm not a full-blown libertarian. I have a lot of libertarian bents.
Leanings.
A lot of libertarian leanings. I kind of swing back between being a Republican and a Democrat, too. I'm an independent.
As true of an independent as you could possibly be.
No, not really, because I'm not completely undecided about every candidate and about every election. A true independent is someone who has a pathology where they cannot make up their mind. That's an actual independent, because mm-hmm. these are the independent voters who are like, oh, I'm undecided until 2 weeks before the election.
Or walking the election, into the polls. You know? Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, but my question is, because I do tend to agree with the point you were making a second ago about liberties and how we don't really have any anymore, and we live in what is more of a police state than anything, mm-hmm. you know. And my question is, and I think the question of the American people should be, what can be done about that? That's not revolutionary or something, obviously not violence or something like that, but like what is the practical steps right now? Just let it fall? Or is there some path that Joe Citizen can take, or raising your voice, or what's the path in your eyes, or is there one? Or have you given it much thought?
The key is self-education. You have to educate yourself. You can't no longer be a passive bystander just watching the evening news and making your decisions from the evening news. I think that we need to start voting third and fourth parties. Mm-hmm. We really need to take a look at the Green Party. No matter if, because you know, back in the 80s when you had a big surge in third party candidates,
right.
Reform candidates, Green Party candidates, stuff like that, their whole parties and their whole third party, fourth party, whatever, were trashed by the Democrats and Republicans as esoteric weirdos,
fringes,
who were on the fringe of society and whose viewpoints were terrible for the American people.
Right.
Now, whether or not those viewpoints were, and most of them weren't, they were still labeled and branded as fringe and you know, weirdos who had no actual political insight.
Yeah.
I think we need to take a look at the third parties. We need to start voting for independents. We need to
on that point, vote with what you truly believe as opposed to party.
No. I'm not saying no. The whole vote your conscience thing. Okay. First off, what a lot of people believe is complete bull. What a lot of people believe is stupid. A lot of people believe that the Green Party is for marijuana reform. Okay. Mm-hmm. They take their name from environmental concerns. A lot of people believe that libertarians are for social anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not true. What most do not go to the polls and vote for what you believe in. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go to the polls and vote for what the facts are. Okay. If you vote for independents who don't take money from lobbyists.
Right.
But in order to do that sort of voting, you have to do
your research and get research. Off your butt.
You have
yeah.
to dig. You have to get off.
Which I think is key because so many people don't want to do that.
Yeah. You have to get off of Candy Crush and Farmville. And porno.
Whoa.
Yeah, you have to put down Farmville and some porno for a little while. Use your devices for some other reasons, for some research. Go to some good independent websites. Jump on Al Jazeera, because yeah. Al Jazeera is the most truthful news source out there, period. They report the news. There are very little op-eds, very little talking heads. It's just completely reporting the news. And they, Al Jazeera, maybe they are financed and run by
Al Gore.
By Al Gore.
Go ahead.
But let me tell you what, man, they've made a name for themselves, and they have a good name in broadcast. I mean,
who would you say in America is as close to that as we could get? Or is there even a source or a website even, or what? I mean, I would toss out there the Drudge Report, but mm-hmm. even he really just links to a lot of other. You know, it's like a meta page where he links to a lot of other stories,
yeah.
you know, that come from other sources or home fed sources.
I have a PBS bent.
What about The Blaze?
Not a big fan of, what is his name, Alex?
No, Glenn Beck.
Yeah. Not a fan of Glenn Beck's. Or The Blaze is okay. I've gone there a few times. RT's not bad. Reddit, I think, is probably the best place.
Yeah, RT is pretty solid. And it's interesting, the things that get upvoted the highest to Reddit are usually things from RT,
Washington Post,
Huffington
Post, which I don't really like those
three
not a publications.
Fan of Huffington Post. I do like RT.
Yeah,
and we've reported or looked at a couple of stories from RT.
Yeah.
in the past.
But I don't think there are a whole lot of really good independent news sources. mm-hmm. Corporate sources. I'm a big Jim Lehrer fan.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Rose.
I think the thing is,
if you want good discussion, good political discussion, that gets to the heart of the matter, imagine like Howard Stern, but mm-hmm. intelligent and very political.
Hmm.
And without, and but political professional with, like, you know, a newscaster's persona. That's Charlie Rose.
Charlie Rose.
His interviews are riveting. They're astounding. The questions are succinct and to the point.
And he's on PBS?
Yeah. He's had a nightly news interview show. I think it starts like at 11:30 our time. And he just has political guests. Ahmadinejad's been on there several times.
Mm-hmm.
Big names.
Yeah.
Big names. Charlie Rose carries a lot of weight. He's very well respected still in an era where the news is not respected at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think, I do think that's important. Even taking one step back from that and looking at the thing with a blanket perspective,
mm-hmm.
I think that you have to realize which, you know, if you ask Joe Citizen, you know, they're either, well, they probably lean to the right, so they watch Fox News, or they probably lean to the left, so they watch any of the others, you know, and the names don't mean anything. But the thing is, the thing that people don't realize is all of the media that you see, like your cable news circuit, like your gamut of cable news channels,
mm-hmm.
are all owned by four companies.
Yeah.
And that's all media. But so four companies. So they're only reporting the stories that they get from the top down.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe there are newsroom people and key people that report on things, but the bias is there. It's and it doesn't really matter if in the search for truth, it doesn't matter what side the bias comes from, because if you're truly searching for the truth, you shouldn't want bias one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't tune in to be told what you already kind of know and what mm-hmm. and be reaffirmed in what you already believe. You should tune in to hear the facts of a situation or a story, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I think people think that's what they're getting on the cable news circuit, but that's not at all what they're getting.
No, I don't think so. I think, it's a regurgitation of the same four or five things all the time.
Yeah.
You know? Like we saw in the Zimmerman case, man. Is everybody saying the same thing about Zimmerman? Which
And there were like two sides to that, and both two sides were on all the channels, you know?
Yeah.
So it would seem that we could just take, like, what's that channel? Headline News?
Mm-hmm. HLN, yeah.
It's like, let's just take that channel over and let CNN run it entirely and put everybody on there that's opinion and just let them all argue at once, all of the talking heads all together all at once, and let them talk about whatever they want, whatever Zimmerman, quote unquote, is in the news that given day. And then the other stories could be just live stories of reporting what's really going on.
Yeah.
Whatever the story is.
Well, it's
whether it's local or
it's a
or
problem
not.
Of ratings. Like, these channels are trying to get.
Yeah, I think it should be illegal for news channels to have. I think that would be key right away. Just it's illegal for a news channel to have advertisements. Period.
Yeah.
Then ratings. Your focus on ratings would drop, and your focus on reporting the truth would start to rise, mm-hmm. and then you'd be supported by listeners, which I guess obviously
PBS is. Yeah,
but
how are they
going to
make any money?
Look at PBS.
The PBS is
sponsorship from viewers like you.
That's true.
Thank you.
But are you really going to send your money to Fox News just because you think Megyn Kelly's hot?
No, but it'd be completely different in that scenario anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would send my money to Fox News if they hired Huma Abedin as a.
Why you are just fixated on this?
She's got a pretty smile.
How many podcasts of ours is she going to take up? I just want to know so I can let legal know, and then we'll just go.
I don't know how long is Wienergate going to be in the news.
Well, ask the 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah. How long is Wienergate?
Story which I know you'll be pleased about. I don't know if you saw this. Oh, that's the same one. I don't know if you saw this. The one that I have is from the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one we'll link to because that's the one I'll read. But the headline is, on gay priests, Pope Francis asks, who am I to judge? I know that that really speaks to the attachment to the Pope that you have, man.
Yeah, not because I'm gay, because I like Pope Francis.
Well, you know, we can look at it. We'll let the listener decide.
Oh, we can let the listener decide?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. and we'll just go from there. And whatever they want to think about you is what they want to think about you.
Okay, fine.
But anyways, yeah, what do you think about that?
I mean, it's a step in the right direction. Honestly, the Catholic Church needs to get over their hang-up with homosexuality. They're not going, like, Christians were never designed to be the morality police. We're not supposed to be making sure that everyone obeys our rules or what we think about society. Hold on. Let me get to that. Okay. So the Catholic Church isn't, we've seen from the cover-ups of, child pornography and misconduct and flat-out child rape.
On the part of the Catholic Church. Yeah.
So it's clear they're not concerned about whether or not their priests are having gay sex or are gay or are homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want them to have sex. Okay.
Right.
Excuse me. The church needs to get over the whole celibacy thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not biblical either.
No, it's not. If you look in the Bible, like, no one's saying don't get married. And Paul's saying to some people, being celibate is something that that they can choose and something that works best for them in the service of God.
Okay? Yeah.
So whether or not you're a Christian...
On an individual-to-individual basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the New Testament church never had anything against people staying celibate or forcing people to be celibate or anything against homosexuals, okay? Or homosexuality, or at all. It was simply the fact that some people can serve God better by not getting married. Okay, you have a lot of responsibilities if you're married to your wife, to your children, or to your husband and your children, or whatever. So if you want to go into the full time ministry and you want to remain celibate because that's what will help you in your ministry,
in your focus, and your
then be celibate. Because what Paul was coming up against was there were young people in the church who weren't getting married
just fornicating left and right.
No, not necessarily. Who were young people in the church who were choosing not to get married because they said, "Well, we're devoting our lives to God." And older people in the church were like, "Well, you still need to get married because we need families.
Yeah.
So you either have to get married or you have to be celibate." And it was a divide in the church. Some people were saying people who were going into full time ministry had to remain celibate. Some were saying they have to get married. So it had a divide. What Paul was addressing there in saying that some people have the gift of celibacy is that it's a non-issue.
Yeah.
It's not an issue to be divided over.
And it's not an issue to contention. God either.
Exactly.
It's because not an issue say one way or the other.
Yeah, it's not an issue of contention. So settle it on a personal matter. You don't have to bring other people into it. And you don't have to reject people because they're making a moral decision different from yours.
Right.
And that's the whole gist of that whole two lines. Some people have been given the gift of celibacy. Okay, that's the whole gist of that line. Like, it's not a moral imperative to force your moral beliefs on somebody else.
Yeah, and if your moral belief is that you should be celibate, then that's fine for you.
So what
on an individual-to-individual
basis. What Christians have done and continue to do by making their fight about morality and about other people observing their morality. Like, Christians need to get off their high horse and stop believing that their morality is better than everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that their belief system is wrong. Not saying that Christians shouldn't think that their religion is correct. Because obviously, if you believe in a religion, you think that religion is correct. Okay,
right.
But to think that your morality is better than somebody else's simply because your morality is yours. It's jingoism, but with your morality. Okay. We explained jingoism last episode, I think.
Yeah.
So all our listeners should know what jingoism means.
Yeah.
If you don't, go back and listen. Go back and listen.
Well, my question to you on a personal level...
So the Catholic Church should allow their priests to get married. They should allow their priests...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It should not... You should not be forced to be single your entire life. Because obviously what happens is you may be able to make... priests and nuns unable to marry, but you can't take away their sexual desires. That's something they're always going to have.
Yeah.
And for some people...
And then it's innate on a human biological level, too.
For some people, it's too much. I couldn't go without sex for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Sorry, couldn't do it. It's something that you can't regulate. You can't regulate someone's sexual desire.
Right.
And when you try to do that... Like you
wind up with really, really ugly situations.
Or some weird homeschoolers.
Yeah.
You have perversion, and you have certain proclivities that are unnatural, such as wanting to have sex with children, because they're the only thing that's available to you. Okay,
yeah.
You may be cut off from pornography. You're definitely cut off from having sex with other people. But who can you have sex with? You can have sex with children who will never talk about it,
Exactly.
It's sick.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the Catholic Church really does need to rethink the whole celibacy thing. And maybe that's the road that Francis is on, because I don't think he's... Obviously, he's...
Well, see, and that's what I was going to ask you and kind of bring it around to the homosexuality thing, because... And this has always been... I've always had a huge beef with people that think that... That kind of relate all Christians to kind of your Westboro people that you know, God hates gays,
yeah.
You know, because he doesn't. He doesn't say that in his Bible. He doesn't. That's not a teaching of any church that I've ever been to. That's just absolutely not correct.
Yeah.
And it's always been a huge pet peeve for me when people decide to lump Christians in with, oh, you guys hate gays. You guys don't tolerate homosexuality. You guys don't have love for people if they're homosexual, all of which is not true. And in my own personal life, I've tried to show that to people who I do know that are gay and things like that, because it's like, no, that's not it at all. And if anything,
you've tried to show gay men your
love. Stop. If anything, God calls the Christian to,
you tried to prove it to them.
Stop. God calls the Christian to be an example of his love, and his love, he loves everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't love their sin and their behavior, but and even the thing there is, and I've had these conversations.
Well,
with
he hypothetically loves them because he may not exist, but
he loves them and man, you derailed my train of thought super bad there.
I'm sorry.
Hold on.
Let me see if I can jump you back on it. Hot dogs, cream soda, asphalt,
no
tire iron,
no
clothes hanger. No. Clothesline.
No.
Bubba Gump.
He doesn't...
The Wrestler, The Undertaker.
Oh, what I was saying about God hitting sins.
Yeah, I got you back on track. Boom.
What God hates sin, and he hates particular behaviors, which are against his plan for our lives, but he doesn't hate a gay person for their sin any more than he hates me for my sin,
yeah,
of which I have an abundance.
Yeah.
Homosexuality isn't one of those, and that's great. But all of my sins, God hates those in my life just as much as he hates homosexuality in a homosexual's life, or murdering in a murderer's life, or a rapist, or any other sin under the sun.
Yeah.
And so the church needs to get over the stigma that's the sin that should be going after.
Yeah.
And if the number of churches, I firmly believe this, if the number of churches that spoke out about homosexuality from the pulpit decided to speak out about pornography and illicit sexual materials and things like that from the pulpit, there'd be a lot less people in church.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So, and there's my rant.
On another note, if the church or if Christians in the United States want to protect the sanctity of marriage and want to keep gay marriage illegal.
Well, then it's their religious right to perform whatever marriage they want in the church.
Hold on. If that's true, then just as many Christians should be out there rallying against divorce as are rallying against gay marriage.
Absolutely. Same thing, because God doesn't look at you and say, oh, well, you had a bad time with your first wife and you couldn't make it work because you didn't have the balls to make it work, because that's what a lot of divorces end in, let's be honest, on one side or the other. And if you couldn't make it, then he hates that just as much as a person who's getting married to a man because of that, you know, that situation.
Yeah. And if you think about it in the quote-unquote, you know, biblical sense,
As you should if you're a Christian.
If you believe in God, then think about this for a minute. God hates divorce more than he hates gay marriage. Why? Because
you're breaking up something that he brought together.
Exactly. You're breaking your vow in front of God. You're breaking
vow that
you
vow
made
to God, yeah. Which is a huge deal all throughout
quote-unquote gay marriage, because quote-unquote God doesn't like it, wouldn't be considered a real marriage, and therefore, if they got divorced, wouldn't be a breaking of the vow.
It would be, yeah.
Okay. So, if you're thinking about it in purely biblical terms, and purely, you know,
from a doctrinal point of view, if you're a Christian,
divorce is much, a Christian couple getting divorced, in God's eyes, is much worse than a gay couple getting married by the state. There are Christians out there by the thousands getting, and millions getting divorced.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's even higher in the church.
About that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the divorce, like I said, rate, divorce rate among evangelicals is like 3 or 4 points higher than among the rest of
And that's something I believe, because I've sat in churches for, I mean, years on end, years on end, where, you know, homosexuality is brought up all the time, even when no one in the church is a homosexual. But it was brought up all the time as a scourge of society, as as an example of how society is going down and turning away from God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And while all that may be true or be bounded in a biblical viewpoint, you didn't hear one word about pornography.
Yeah.
Or if you did, it was 10 to 1, which is not the way it should be, because a church, as they're called to do, is disciple the people, they have to cover all sin.
Mm-hmm.
Because sin is what holds down the Christians, right? So if you want your Christians to be the best
holds
Christians...
Holds them down and tickles them, yeah.
If you want your Christians to be the best Christians that they can be, you have to address the sin that is affecting them.
I mean, who hasn't been here... Who here hasn't been tickled by sin before?
Just...
I know I've been tickled by sin. I'm being tickled by sin right now. That's actually a good term for, like, temptation.
Tickled by sin.
I wasn't tempted. I was tickled by sin.
I don't know that would be scripturally accurate.
Nothing we've said is scripturally accurate.
He was tickled in all ways, as we were.
No tickling has befallen you except what is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tickled beyond what you are able. But with the tickling, will make a way of escape, so that you will not laugh when you're being tickled. I think that's Galatians 4:39.
What if we took a here's a segment. What if we or maybe a special podcast. What if we took a chapter of the Bible and you read the whole thing, and everywhere there was sin, you just said tickled or tickling.
Yeah, we could do that. Or we just do like a misquoted Bible verse.
Well, I think that's every Bible verse that comes out of your mouth.
That's true. Matt memorizes Bible verses badly.
Yeah, that's a whole segment. Either way, yeah.
In the beginning, God tickled the universe. In the beginning, God tickled the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, so it didn't really feel the tickle that much. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and God spoke and said, Let there be tickling.
Let there be tickling.
And it tickled. And God saw that the tickling was good, and commanded that the tickles of the day be separated from the tickles of the night. And so it was. And on the second day... God said, I'm tired of all this tickling. Let's just make a normal universe.
Let's just make a livable world here.
And on the second day, Matt got tired of the joke.
Yeah, as he should. Anyways, yeah, and his direct quote or thing is, quote, if someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge? Francis told reporters, speaking in Italian but using the English word gay. So kind of like you said, I think he's kind of taking every opportunity to sort of redefine a little bit of what the Catholic Church is, because he did the same thing with atheism, I guess, and we covered that a couple of weeks ago. You know, he was kind of like, hey, if an atheist, you know, can do good, you know, we don't have a problem with that. I don't remember what the direct quote was.
The thing that I love about Pope Francis is
among many things.
Well, this should be noted. This is the main thing that makes me love him, and I'm not Catholic. I wouldn't even call myself a Christian. But
really?
I swing between atheism or agnosticism and Christianity all the time. I'm like a pendulum. Just
whatever time it might be.
No, I have this duality where
let me pose a quick question to you on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to want to answer this.
Okay.
What if you're swinging to agnosticism is, as you swing from Christianity to agnosticism, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, the belief that you can't prove God.
Exactly.
Right. So... what if you're swinging to that is brought on by patterns in your life that you don't want to conform to Christianity?
Probably.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to pose that to you.
But also, science makes no concession
for God. As God and my listeners are our witness.
Science makes no concession for God. But if God is real...
But it shouldn't. Yeah, it wouldn't, though.
But if God is real, then he did create the universe.
Right.
Therefore, what I see in the universe, and what because God doesn't lie, he doesn't have any need to.
Yeah.
Okay. What I see in science and the universe is the truth. It's as true and truer than the actual scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
Because
he created it. It's the purest form.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it could be argued that in scripture, but that's the purest form of who God is that we have all around us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
So. So
we got really deep here.
To sum up that whole thing, it's clear that the universe is billions of years old. It's clear that the Earth is billions of years old. So don't, creationists who say...
Creationists can suck it? Is that what you're saying?
Basically, yeah. also going out and, Planck time and the Big Bang and stuff like that, if you really, study the physics or learn anything about it, you can't see the beginning of the universe. You can't know specifically how it began. It's all hypothetical. Hypothetical. It's an area of philosophy and not science.
Mm-hmm.
So the door is left open for the Bible to be true. But the belief system of the evangelical over the past 300 years has drastically changed from what it was. You think during the Reformation and during the Renaissance, Christians were very scientific.
Right.
And the Puritanical movement of the 1700s really killed the intellectualism of the evangelical. And it's sad. It's one of the greatest travesties of the church.
Absolutely.
And that
coupled with the fact that now we have smartphones that can beam games into our hands at the speed of light. But yeah.
Yeah, so no one pays any attention to sermons anymore. Is that what you're saying?
Well.
Going back to Pope Francis, the thing I like about Pope Francis is he is so much more concerned about the sin of the people in the pulpit and the sins of pastors and preachers and priests and nuns and cardinals. He is so much more concerned with their sin and the wrong that the Catholic Church and the evangelicals in the church have done than he is with a non-believer's sin. What he said about this and about, what was the other thing?
The atheists. Yeah.
He said in so many words, I don't give a flying F about what they do.
Right.
I don't care what they do. My focus is on what the church and what believers are doing.
As it should be.
That's what I care about. So I'm going to talk about believers' sin. I'm going to talk about evangelical sin. I'm going to talk about the sins of people who are in the church and in the priesthood, people who work for the Catholic Church. We're talking about their sin because those people are my responsibility.
Yeah.
Non-believers, non-Christians, the rest of the world, their morality
aren't the church's
concern.
Doesn't
matter.
And never have been. I mean,
exactly.
When it is their responsibility, as you look back over history, it hasn't gone well. Salem witch hunts.
Exactly. The mm-hmm. Crusades.
Crusades. Yep.
Yeah. The Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah.
Anytime
that you feel that you need to bring the gospel or what is morally right to someone that doesn't have it and doesn't believe what you believe,
yeah,
you're treading on dangerous water because that's where you wind up going, yeah, is the Salem witch hunts and the
all you're
Spanish
doing is hurting your own message.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a very good step.
We're speaking to you, Westboro.
Yeah, this is the best step that the Catholic Church can really take because you really can't come out you could come out and say, we fired all the priests who've ever been accused of kitty diddling, and then we're moving on. We're going to allow priests to get married and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be concerned with everyone else's morality when the modern day Christian, the modern Catholic, the modern evangelical, and the modern priest is so corrupt.
Yeah,
you
across the board.
Yeah,
essentially
completely across the board. You can't. You can't really be concerned with, the rest of the world's morality. And he's said in, the past couple of times, the past couple of things we've talked about is basically him saying, in so many words, I don't give a care about
people
the rest of the world's
aren't
morality.
The church, yeah.
I'm going to take care of the problems within the Catholic Church. So that's what he's done, talking about, he addressed the opulence of the church, how priests and pastors and cardinals and everything, they're all rich. And they drive really nice cars.
Yeah, and he
like
said
that.
He felt that wasn't a good thing and all that. Yeah,
and it's not. And yeah, so way to go, Pope Francis. Keep it up, Pope Frankie. Keep it up, Frankie.
That would be our direct message to Pope Francis.
Yeah, keep it up.
Well, that is a very thoughtful, very deep. Give that some thought.
We gave a lot of things some thought.
We did give a lot of things some thought.
The Bible, Huma Abedin, but then I give her thought a lot of times.
So. Please stop. Can I get your word that I won't hear about her in the next episode?
Nope.
Lovely. Well, one thing that I think that Matt and I both would like for our listeners to give some thought
is actually one thing I would like you to give some thought is tweet me your nominations for your cabinet? My cabinet. My all-female
good thought
cabinet.
Wait, so they have to be female?
They have to be female. They have to be alive right. in 2020.
All right.
Okay. Doesn't matter if they're in politics now or, you know, but you know, celebrity makes yeah. it easier for everybody. Like, so, not like my grandma because she's, you know, really smart. You know, you can't tweet that at me because I don't care about your grandma.
Well, I'm Addison Todd at Addison Todd on Twitter. Obviously, Matt, who is asking for you to tweet him your nomination for his 2020 presidential cabinet, is
MHULME 2574
on Twitter.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and we'll tweet that out from the show page too. That way, people know where to go.
Yeah, but my all female cabinet. Yeah,
all female cabinet
mm-hmm.
looking for nominations.
Yeah,
and what I was going to say a second ago, what Matt and I would like for our listeners to give some thought is audiobooks.
Absolutely.
And why would I want our listeners to give audiobooks some thought, Matt?
I'm kind of confused right now. Why?
Well, I'll tell you what. Audiobooks are great.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically like big, long podcasts, only by famous people that people listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, way better than this. What you should do is go to audibletrial.com/tripodbroadcasting, get yourself a free audiobook.
Now, when you say free...
Oh, that's a legal deal. Like, that's not... This isn't the Pirate Bay or something. Those are legal, free audiobooks. You go, you sign up, you get a month-long trial, you get a free audiobook.
If I signed up and got a free audiobook, could I get an illegal audiobook, or do they have to be? Because sometimes, you know...
It's a legal service.
The stolen fruit is the sweetest.
Well, I think you'll find that these audiobooks are sweet enough.
That's true.
Yeah. audibletrial.com/tripodbroadcasting.
Get Woody Allen to read you The Grapes of Wrath. I mean,
does that exist?
I don't think so, but it should.
Well, why don't you email Audible?
Or what would it sound like if Tracy Morgan
stop
read to me The Grapes of Wrath?
Well, we'll have to look at that next episode.
just say it was the best of times, it was the worst of times in Tracy Morgan's voice.
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Perfect. Oh my gosh.
There you go, a sampling of Tracy Jordan and how his audiobook would be. That's episode number 7.
Yeah.
Give that some thought.
We gave a lot of things some thought. Good episode.
Tweet Matt your nominations
for the cabinet. MHULME 2574.
And my Twitter username, because it's simple and not retarded, is at Addison Todd.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Thanks
for listening, folks. Have a good one.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.